Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we have on the line Ronan Ayres. He is the CEO of Youth Village and is an expert in talking to youth and integrating them into the workforce and all sorts of other interesting elements. And he's written a very interesting op-ed about the changing structures of leadership in our society and how these are being engaged with by young people and what it means for you. So we thought we'd get him on the air to chat about it further on in. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us on Chai FM.
Hello, Benj. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Thank you. So talk to us, you know, we live on a continent and in a world where it used to be all about the big man theory and the big leader and the person who was throwing their weight around. But you're arguing that things are starting to shift slightly.
Yeah, totally. My initial idea was I kept on asking young people, and then I started asking anyone to name a leader in today's time that you really aspire to be like, or name a leader that you think is absolutely excellent, or someone that you could model yourself on, or you want your kids to model yourself on. And that's generally created like this awkward silence where people were thinking, hang on a second, I actually can't think of one. And I know as someone, you know, brought up in the 80s and 90s, it was all about those strong, masculine kind of leaders, and those leaders that were all knowing, you know, the sage, the someone who knew all the answers, and they were always right. And now we're in a situation where it's a product of where the world is and of just changes. So you've got chaos and disruption, and on the other side you have just differing needs for a different situation. And the big thought was no one could name leaders up front. And then we started to look at it, well, what do people want? And so the article started off as leaderless, like we don't have leaders. And then I wanted to explore what kind of leaders young people want and generally anyone wants. And then it got to the stage where it became from leaderless to leaderless. And we can talk about that as we go along.
Yeah, it's interesting. You do talk about that, and particularly how we're starting to see this leaderless, as you say, being reflected in some of the structures in our schools, which I think thought was a really interesting point. You know, like you, someone like me, grew up in the 80s. You had head boys and head girls and prefects, and they were there to sort of as a second layer of discipline and security in the school. But now, you know, everyone is on a committee and you kind of, sometimes you get elected on, sometimes it's voluntary, but you get these multiple committees in the schools and the kids are driving their own initiatives, they're having their own Instagram accounts, they're doing all sorts of stuff like that, which it is a slightly different way of approaching problem solving and dealing with issues that kids are facing.
Yeah. So, there's a few changes in structure, and so what they've seen over time is the more diverse your leadership is, the better your organization is prepared to respond to changes. So if there's only one or two people at the top that are making the decisions, the ability for the organization to change quickly and to be agile is stunted by their own capacity. And so in a disruptive, chaotic time, what you're looking at is if you can diversify your leadership, so make sure that more people have opportunities to lead, the organization will generally be able to change a lot faster. And so when you see it at schools, it's beautiful, because there was even a Malcolm Gladwell podcast on looking at democracy, even at a school level, and interviewed like this fascinating political activist. And what they worked out was, first, we were lousy at picking leaders, even when we're younger. So those that make the best speeches and make the most noise generally got the attention and became the prefects. Or if they were good at sports or good at academics, they became the ones. But when you looked at it in a different way, and they almost looked at it as a lottery, where they asked anyone in the school body, who wants to be part of this? And whoever put their names forward, they were put into a lottery and a committee was chosen out of that pool. And what they saw was the kind of issues that were dealt with. There's a huge diversity of people, of issues dealt with, and the kind of leaders that came up weren't the obvious ones, if they would have run a different kind of structure, the old way of running an election.
There's a fascinating book that was written a couple of years ago called The End of Power by a guy called Moses Nayyem, where he talks literally about what you're speaking about in how the changes in the world with access to technology and more people and all these sorts of things has diluted the kind of traditional holders of power in organizations, whether they're in a school or corporate or communal body or whatever it is. And it's, I mean, that example that you're giving is absolutely fascinating about how the issues themselves actually start to change once that process takes place, and how the power structure is diluted as well.
Absolutely. And then we can also look at, if we know that our old ways of doing things are fatally flawed, you look at how new things are forming. And so you have leaders that are old school kind of leaders clinging onto power. And what I'm suggesting is for a leader to really thrive in the new world, they've got to be less of a traditional leader and more of a new kind of leader. So more empathetic, more kind, more understanding, all the kind of things that COVID's actually taught us to be. It doesn't mean to say they can't be strong leaders. We need strong leaders who can make big decisions, but just using a different kind of matrix of, on how they make decisions and on what. And then it's worth mentioning on the leaderless side. So we spoke about leaderless, but look at the kind of organizations that are forming that are leaderless. So if you looked at things like in the States of, say, Occupy Wall Street, who was the leader there?
Right. I mean, I think it's an interesting point you make, because I do think that leaderless, in other words, not having leaders, you know, is probably still going to be a challenge in the New World Order. If anyone follow the Occupy Wall Street movement, you'll see how much chaos that ended up creating. But what you're saying about having leaderless, where people are communicating and thinking and working in a more collaborative way, and how that gets people behind them. I'm thinking now about Jacinda, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, like the way that she comes across, whether you like her policies or what she does or not, is she's still a leader, but she understands the communication very, very effectively.
Yeah. And I'd like to suggest it even go further. Like if the old style of leadership is almost seen as a masculine kind of approach, mm-hmm. that is about power and ego and all knowing and all of that kind of stuff. The leaderless approach is a more feminine, nurturing, understanding, empathic kind of leader. And not to say that, I'm not suggesting that all leaders should be female. I'm suggesting that the female approach within all leaders is probably what the world needs more of today.
Now, if you are a HR person, say,
running,
and you're thinking about your company structure and bringing people in, you know, if you're hiring a Gen Z at the moment, you're having to think about, well, how do I integrate someone who's used to these structures now from high school into our, you know, our corporation, our community, whatever it is. What is it that you're thinking about now when you're thinking about integrating someone who's used to this leadership environment?
Yeah, so think of the disconnect. If you've been brought up in this environment and you come into this world that is the complete opposite, where it's more like just follow what I say. Do what I say, as opposed to me actually having a voice and having some input. And, you know, it's very disempowering, probably flattened engagement, and it's currently happening. And so there's lots of cool ways and the way an HR professional can look at kind of unleashing the power of the younger generation And it doesn't necessarily have to be the younger generation. It's literally about the reason why I brought up Occupy Wall Street, or we could look at Black Lives Matter or any one of those kind of organizations. There's no distinct leader, but there's certainly a value that a lot of people ascribe to, and they join the movement. And it's really creating little tribes within your business around interest groups and seeing who's got great ideas, who wants to put up their hand for leadership, who wants to run things. And as you distribute leadership within the organization, not necessarily based on being earned. So that's one of the big things. It's like in the old structure, you have to deserve your place. You have to earn your place. We're here. If you can develop people that show a keenness without having an election or without having to prove themselves there, generally you'll be way more surprised than the old way. And so it's really about nurturing the talent that you have in your company today. And we actually find it's quite interesting, specifically in a COVID environment where companies have got hiring freezes or they have to make do with the talent that they've got. There's some extraordinary examples of companies that have innovated using ideas that have come from people that weren't necessarily the leaders pre-COVID.
Absolutely fascinating stuff, Ronan. If people want to read the article, where is it placed at the moment if they want to read it in depth?
So at the moment it's on Medium, and just type leaderless.
Okay, so you Google Medium and leaderless, and then and it'll come up.
And otherwise then you could, I guess High FM could post it, and then the leaders could just go to High.
Fair enough.
The listeners.
The listeners.
Yeah.
We have readers as well. Not a problem. Ronan, I think we'll do that as well. Post it up on the Facebook page. Thank you so much for joining us. Have Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.
Good Shabbos and Chag Sameach.
Ronan.
Thanks, Ben.
No problem. Ronan Ayers there. He is the CEO of Youth Village, and talking to us a little bit about leadership and how it's changing. I think a fascinating discussion and some very interesting insights there. Not everybody loving them, I see. Someone who has SMS in saying, you're talking about a chaotic anarchy spreading mob like Occupy Wall Street as an example. Next. an Occupy Wall Street hater there. Thank you. Linda Warren saying, good morning, Mayhem team. First time hearing that lovely song. Oh, that must have been the one we were having before. Easy on the ear. The news is awful and dreary. The weather is great. So I'm going to be reading this weekend. Unless I win the Powerball. You see, we have High FM readers. And someone has SMS saying, didn't Trump say that Corona was a hoax?
High FM, your station of choice since 2008.